the Vietnam War. It's over. Your job's just begun.
A new HBO original limited series.
Welcome to the world of spycraft. Strap in.
From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr.
What are you concealing?
Based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel by Viet Thanh Nguyen.
What if I told you that I was a communist spy?
How did you become this?
The Sympathizer, streaming April 14th on Max. Subscription required.
Dr. Homebrew is brought to you by Five Star Chemicals, providing safety and cleaning supplies for brewing, distilling, and winemaking at 5starchemicals.com.
Doctor, look.
Stand aside, nurse. I'm Dr. Homebrew.
Stand clear. Oh.
It's good for what ails you.
It is good for what ails you, says Brian the Punster.
It's also good for what lager... Oh, no, sorry. I tried.
You did try.
Not so good as
you should have let that idea lager a little bit longer. Oh. Good old Dr. Homebrew.
Drink the coffee stout, JP.
Drink the coffee stout? I don't want to.
I brought that to you.
Yeah, but you didn't pay for it, so I don't feel so bad.
Give me a splash.
I'll splash as well here.
See if I can pour
just,
it.
Let's judge this.
I don't know, man. I have a problem.
Oh, wow.
I have a problem drinking nitrogenated beers that aren't Guinness. I don't know. I feel like it's a waste. It's a waste of effort. A lot of
green pepper.
Yeah, it's okay.
You have a drinking problem when it comes to nitrogenated beers.
I don't like drinking nitrogenated beers. That's not Guinness. It's fine. It's too sweet, but whatever. Thank you. I appreciate you thinking about me.
There's a little coffee in there.
Do you have a shot of espresso? This show is brought to you, as every Dr. Homebrew is, by Five Star. You can go to 5starchemicals.com and learn about everything you need to do to make your beer better because it probably sucks. Okay, let's talk to...
There's a vote of confidence from our fearless host.
Let's give Aaron a call here and get him on the phone. Bri, if you want to start pouring some birds.
Yeah.
That'd be great. Aaron, are you there?
Please record your message.
Okay.
At the tone,
let's leave him a weird
please get Aaron on the phone.
One for more options.
Hey, Aaron. This is your subconscious mind speaking. Make more beer labels with American flags on them. I'm just saying, it's a good thing to do.
All right, well, hung up. Well, I don't really know.
He's
what
got
to do,
Lady Liberty, American Pale Ale.
Looks pretty good.
American Pale Ale. Nice label.
All right. Well, he's
Pop
the only homebrewer on the show tonight, so he will automatically, by default, win the grog tags.
So we don't even have to talk about.
We don't even have to talk about his labels.
The labels.
That'd be great.
We could talk
I mean,
about
I did
beer.
Tell him I'd call him 23 minutes ago, which is why I was trying to condense our break here to kind of, you know, because I knew that we were being a little late.
Well, we're going to drink his beer and talk about it anyway. You try to get him back on the horn there, and we'll...
That's a good plan.
We'll let you know what happens with his beer.
And that is a good plan, my friend. A good plan.
Yeah, sorry. Sometimes,
You're our contestants. A heavy pourer and a good planner. Look at that.
Our contestants have to have some flexibility sometimes. Doctoring takes time.
I'm sure he's just in the bathroom.
Haven't you ever been to the
doctor's
doctor?
Office at 3 hours late normally?
Yeah,
come on. We have a little sign up saying Dr. Homebrew is running 20 minutes late.
20 minutes is nothing, yeah.
And then we'll show up 30 minutes after that.
No. Hey, don't forget, he's not complaining. I'm not saying he's complaining.
We really earlier. We were just...
Excuse me, holy
golfing
shit.
Golfing for 4 hours.
All right, Brian, why don't you start us off here, because I don't know why. That's my default position with you.
Thank you. Default positions with him, I guess.
Maybe.
I won't go anywhere else with that, JP.
I wouldn't say better, just different.
Okay, so in the nose, getting a medium...
First of all, what is this?
It's an American pale ale.
American pale ale. All Here. American pale ale.
All American. Yes.
I swear to God, if there are Fuggles in here, I'm gonna fucking sue.
I tricked you. I used all English ingredients. Yeah. It's a medium hop aroma, classic citrus, a little bit of pine. I felt like the malt was pretty muted and just kind of a basic bready, light. Maybe just a touch of some toast in there. It's actually not that caramelly. Maybe just a touch of caramel, too, but not much. Very faint. No diacetyl or DMS. I thought it was pretty cleanly brewed. Moderate fruity esters. Kind of an apple pear presentation to that. Clean overall. I didn't get any DMS or diacetyl. I already said that. No acetaldehyde either. There you go. Appearance-wise, it's a clear golden color. Pours with almost no head. Fine white bubbles coloring the glass. And, yeah, again, it just... There wasn't a head to stick around, so I can't really comment on retention of the head. Sorry. But, yeah, the bubbles are white. Mostly fine. Some larger bubbles around the glass. And a little bit in the middle, like a little fuzz. Flavor-wise, it's clean, but I felt like it was pretty dry.
Hang on, sir. We're getting a phone call here. Let's see if this is Aaron.
Hello.
Aaron.
Hello.
Hey, Aaron.
Hey, how's it going?
What's going on, man?
Hey, I was just listening to you live. I guess I missed your first call, but I'm glad you called me back.
Don't worry about it. No sweat,
you know,
man.
Sometimes when the doctor calls, you want to pretend like you're not there because, you know, you haven't been keeping up your workout routine or eating right. I mean,
right.
I'm due to go in
drinking too much
and give blood.
Brewing once a week, something like that. You know, yeah. How often do you drink? How often do I drink? I brew, like, what the fuck?
5 gallons every 3 days, man. No. So, we were talking about your beer. Kind of covered the aroma and the appearance already there, but you can listen to that. Well, you were listening. So
I pretty much am caught up. Yeah, thanks.
Flavor-wise, it's clean, but it has kind of a dry, bitter presentation. It's overall the kind of a minerally thing in there playing off the hops. But although when I tasted it earlier, it seemed more bitter than it is coming across to me now. It was also the first beer, which is sometimes hard to judge. I say that every time something doesn't come across right to me. But the hops are citrusy and kind of low and muted behind that mineraliness and a little sulfate-y kind of quality. But yeah, definitely the way that the hops are playing, you know, there is the bitterness. I wouldn't say is intense, but it's the way the hops are playing off the water is indicating kind of a heavy mineral water to me. Not intensely heavy, but just a little higher than you might want. It's definitely balanced to the hops, though, as it should be. Some of the hops do linger into the aftertaste, but it just dries away really quick at the end. It has a nice dry finish, which is pretty good for a pale ale, but I wouldn't mind a little more malty sweetness in this in the flavor. The malt flavors, again, just kind of supporting and really neutral, really just kind of basic Wonder Bread, you know, gone.
Mm-hmm.
It's not sweet at all. Mouthfeel-wise, it does have a fair amount of, dryness to it. It's not intensely biting or anything, and the carbonation is kind of medium-low. Not getting any real warmth in here. You can tell there's a little bit of alcohol in this beer. It's not wimpy, but it's not creamy smooth. I'm not getting any hop. I'm getting only a little bit of hop astringency in there, and the body is medium light. So, overall, it's pretty decent American pale ale. I think the biggest thing I would play with in this is the minerals in the water and getting the water balanced right. It seems like you did a pretty good job taking care of your fermentation. Your hops are restrained, but it's still hop balanced. It's got a nice little hop character to it. It tastes fresh. I'd be interesting to talk about your water, what you're starting with, what adjustments you might be doing. Are you adding any gypsum? Are you raising the sulfates intentionally at all? What do you doing with that? So
that's great, because that's the kind of the main reason I sent this beer is I'm just starting to play with water profile, so okay. I'd like to get your take on.
Yeah,
I can share my brewing water profile with you guys at the end or whatever.
Okay,
and like to get your take on that.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Keith, why don't you go ahead?
I landed on a 31 for this beer. I thought it was pretty good, but with some adjustment, you could definitely get it up into higher 30s or higher. So, tasty
beer. Awesome. Thank you.
Cool. Thanks, Brian. It sounds like you're losing your voice there a little bit, so drink some beer and get better. aroma, fruity. I got a lot of esters. I got some hops, too, but I got a lot of apple in the aroma. Hop-wise, I'm getting some citrus. And a moderate floral, question mark, centennial. I'm not supposed to do that on score sheets anyway, but I'm just asking that question to myself in my mind. So a low malt aroma with a touch of biscuit. Hop intensity is medium. Overall, I thought it was generally clean, question mark, a little acid aldehyde, possibly green apple, pumpkin sort of thing. I'm just wondering myself if it's there. Like I said, some of this is mental, and some of this is what I'd actually put on the score sheet. My new way of doing Dr. Homebrew. appearance, brilliantly clear. I really love the color. This is a little bit hazier tonight, but once again, I store the bottles at home and keep them really right close to where I'm going to judge them. They don't get really disturbed at all. Whitehead with a medium-sized bubbles. Bubbles are a little bit big. Looks like low carbonation. Head lasts, but fairly low. Overall, though, a pretty beer. Flavor-wise, moderate hop flavor, floral and citrus, just a touch of grapefruit. Malt is mild. A little bit of biscuit. Balance, I thought, was nearly even. I disagree with Brian on this one a little bit. I didn't think the hops were way out of place here. I am getting, especially as it warms right now, the bottle we're having, I'm getting a lot more of the apple character and almost a little bit of cidery sort of character with it. Sorry. Taking a sip of beer there. And last night I thought I tasted a touch of phenol, and I didn't get that earlier today. This is my third time tasting one of your beer, the same beer. And now I'm tasting a little bit of phenol again in this beer. So a touch of phenol, a little acid aldehyde, no caramel, pretty high apple ester. Like I said, medium bitterness, but I thought, I thought the balance was still kind of even. Although now I think it does finish a little bit drier than I thought it did yesterday, and which is kind of weird because it warmed up, but I do think it's a pretty dry beer. Medium light body, moderate carbonation, a little low for the style, but acceptable. No astringency. I didn't have a problem with the water in that respect. No warming. Smooth in the finish and appropriate. I thought it was enjoyable. I didn't think, to me, it really didn't scream APA. It's tough because right now in competitions, if you enter an APA like this, I think it's going to get blown out of the water by hoppier beers. I don't know if Dr. Homebrew is always about how you're going to do in a competition versus just making better beer.
Yeah.
But I think this one would probably get knocked out pretty quickly. To me, in some ways, tastes like an Australian sparkling ale or even a blonde ale, a little hoppier version of a blonde ale. Maybe it's a little aged, so maybe the hops are a little faint from when we actually received it. But I think it lacks a hot punch. But don't overdo it. Don't make it crazy like an IPA or anything like that. I like the malt in it generally. As it warmed, I think I got a little bit salty. So I got a little saltiness in the water, and I think that initially made it play up a little bit maltier for me. But it does taste dry, but I think it was a little bit salty in flavor for me. Touch of phenol, touch of acid aldehyde. I'm very sensitive to both of those, so I would just be careful. Make sure you're pitching enough yeast and being clean in terms of sanitation on both of those ends. But the phenol as well. I'd love to hear about your water and what you're doing in terms of where the water's coming from and all that too.
So for saltiness, are you talking about a sodium saltiness or a chloridiness? Because I could see the chloride, maybe accenting that a little bit, but I don't know. Yeah.
No, I think I don't know.
Sodium saltiness to me.
No, I agree with you. It's not like a sodium saltiness. It's more of a perception. It's kind of like what upped the malt character a little bit for me and made it taste less. Like you're talking about astringent. I didn't really get that. I was more like Yeah, it's more malt focused, but I don't know. But love to hear more about the water profile one.
Yeah, I think the hops still win though. But I do like that the sparkling ale thing. That's kind of interesting. You could enter it as a sparkling.
Anybody else get the apple?
There's it might right do now, really like, well.
Yeah. Apple. There's a lot of apple in the nose more than.
And I wonder if that salty, almost tart aspect is a hop malt water profile combination. Because I get this tangerine, kind of a tangerine. Juice thing, but it's also I don't know. It's like it sounds weird. It's like a hollow tangerine. I don't know how to describe it. Like the if you think of the flavor of the tangerine in the middle, it's kind of missing something. But it has kind of like the tart oil of a tangerine, and on the end, it has the sweetness. But there's no body in it. I don't know if that. Anyway, what did you give it, Keith? And we can.
Oh, I'm sorry. 33.
All right.
I did enjoy the beer. It was not, I'm always, tend to be on the negative side when I talk about stuff.
I had a question. Is it really 6.5%?
It really is, yeah.
All right.
Yeah. It tastes lighter than it is, yeah.
That's out of the realm of a pale ale, right?
It's
if we're just being style whores right now.
I think there.
It's like right on the cusp.
Yeah.
Okay. It attenuated lower than I thought it would, so it's kind of right on the IPA pale ale edge. And a lot of people mention that about my beers, that they think it's a little smoother than it ends up being. I don't know why that is, but they're always a little higher alcohol than people expect.
Okay. Do us a favor. Give us the recipe for this while we kind of analyze this last flavor here.
Yeah, sure. So it's a 5.5-gallon recipe. It's all grain. I did 8 pounds of just 2-row brewer's malt. It's about 76%. White wheat malt, that's about 14%. And then a pound of C60, and that's about 9%. And that's it for the grain bill. And then as far as the hops, I used at a 30-minute edition, I did 1/4 ounce of Bravo, Columbus, and Simcoe. Mm-hmm. That's 1/4 ounce each. And then right at Knockout Whirlpool, I did 3/4 ounce of those. So 3/4 ounce of Bravo, Columbus, Simcoe. And then also at Knockout, I did 1 full ounce of Liberty. And then for a dry hop, I did 2 ounces of Columbus for just one day because I sampled it, and it got like it tasted like real like extra bitter to me. So I pulled it all out then. Uh-huh. And that was all just with US05 dry yeast.
Okay.
Yeah, it seems like you treated your yeast well. It's fermented cleanly.
Yeah, man, I get... So Trader Joe's has these little dehydrated tangerines. And it's what it tastes like. It tastes like splitting that open and just like the candied inside of the tangerine. It's freaky. Yeah, right, Keith?
No, I'm just tasting the bottle we opened before, and they're really drastically different.
No, really?
Like this one is way more apple-y. We're drinking the big bottle versus the small bottle, and this one's like really drastically more apple-y than the other one. That's why, that's why I'm over here like losing my mind. But normally it's something else, but
a little more fruitiness.
Yeah, I know.
Which one's more apple-y, the big one or the little one?
The big one. And I don't know. Maybe I don't. Why would be sitting here and pick up some diacetyl? But I get some diacetyl on the other bottle.
Yeah, you know what I thought. Yeah, when you gave me that sample that you had blended them or you'd given me the second one. Yeah, it was a little bit.
Was it like it's not crazy?
Like
but
just a hint of diacetyl.
Yeah,
but I didn't taste it at first when it was colder.
No, I know. It's weird. Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean...
Very strange.
Liberty
very
strange. And Bravo, I'm not hugely familiar with. I have Bravo. I just never use it. I heard it goes through some interesting biotransformations into citronella and those sort of things. So when did you dry hopped in the secondary? Or I missed that. I'm sorry.
So I brewed this batch on June 11th, so just a couple months ago. And, I dry hopped definitely in the secondary. Actually, it might have been in the keg. It was in the keg because I sampled it, and it didn't taste. It didn't have enough of that like hoppy like nose
fresh
to me.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, I threw in a little bit of Columbus. That's because that's all I had laying around.
Okay.
Honestly.
Like, why so much? This guy must love Columbus. Like, but it's weird. I'm not getting a big, you know, garlicky, oniony thing in this beer. It just presents itself as more kind of classic citrus and a little pine, you know.
Yeah, I had a little floral, but yeah, floral. I know, to me, like, Columbus usually is a like diesel fuel sort of thing. But
right.
My approach to this beer, like, I wanted to make... Well, I brewed it for a 4th of July party that I had. I had a bunch of people over on 4th of July.
Say,
we brewed through the whole 5 gallons on 4th of July.
Yeah.
And I wanted to make it kind of like an easy, like, approachable APA. And I wanted to make it with all American ingredients. And that's why I call it, you know, all American Pale Ale.
Yeah.
And then JP emailed me and he was like, hey, what do you got to send? And I was like, oh, I don't have too much I want to share with you guys, but you know, I want to get some input maybe on this one. But it wasn't maybe quite ready yet. So I threw in that 2 ounces of Columbus just for a day to give it a little bit more nose. And that's kind of why that's the story of the dry hop before I bottled it up and sent it out.
Was it a hit at the party?
Yeah, we blew through the whole 5 gallons in one day. So yeah,
very cool.
Yeah,
it's definitely very smooth and drinkable on a hot summer day. This would be nice for sure. Tell us about Thirst for Adventure Brewing, home brewing. Thirst for Adventure.
Okay.
What does this mean to you?
I have been playing Dungeons and Dragons for a long time.
There you go.
And yeah, and like, you know, we always have different adventures and stuff. And you know, long, long before I was a brewer, I was running a campaign, and I called, you know, the brew that the adventurers would have, Port Griffin Ale, and that's actually currently my flagship beer that I brew now. I've brewed it probably 9 or 10 times. So
awesome!
Is that an English style beer, or what are you doing with the Port Griffin? Is it English style, or are you doing?
Yeah, it's an ESB. That's actually what I wanted to send you guys, but I only had 2 bottles, and I know I needed to send you 3. So maybe if I'm on again sometime, I'll send you that.
Yeah,
maybe.
It'd be fun to taste the.
Do you have any other questions for the guys there, Aaron?
Well, what about water, though? That's why we didn't
talk about it. I guess my main question was what you guys would recommend for the water profile. I have just started using Bruin water, and I just sort of follow what it says for the different style profiles, but I don't really necessarily understand what the different additions do to the beer.
I mean, the hardest part is what are you starting with? I think that's like just using brewing water out of the box and plugging your numbers in and then trying to follow something is kind of tough. I think really you look at your own starting water. Think about how kind of makes sense. Are you doing RO?
RO. Okay. I just go and fill a couple of jugs of RO water. So it's pretty neutral to start with.
No, and I think that's good. And that's probably brewing water does well with that. So I'd follow what they do. I'd keep the mineral content low, whatever you do. Try to maybe calcium at 50 and then everything else beyond that. But I wouldn't go crazy with sulfate, like go to like 120 or whatever. I would always keep it on the lower side. And
This is way high then. Can I read you out what I had for this one?
Yeah, do it.
All right. So calcium is at 138. Whoa. Magnesium's at 13. Sodium's at 14, sulfates at 287, chlorides at 51, and then bicarbonates are at 71.
Definitely,
and that gave me a mash pH of 5.4.
Yeah, I pulled the sulfates back. Yeah, and definitely. I mean, you want to make sure your water with a pale ale like this is going to get to the right mash pH. So,
yeah, I think less is more.
I selected the pale ale profile on brewing water, and this is only like maybe second or third time using it, and I just sort of followed what they gave me. So I guess that was my main question, and the reason why I sent this out to you guys is I just wanted to know kind of what would be a good starting like water profile content for a beer like this, like a
pale bitter,
American
something like
pale
that.
Ale, or something.
Yeah, like pale bitter, something along those lines. I think they're probably on the lower side for numbers. Mm-hmm. I would do that and not try to reproduce any other regions necessarily. At least to start, make it your way first, and you know, do like a normal
pale bitter or something along those lines.
Go a little more conservative, yeah.
I'd say if you want to change from there, you can try out something else. But I would keep it on the more conservative side.
Calcium 50 or 60.
Yeah, and then everything else from there. Yeah.
7 to 10. Yeah. You know, sulfates maybe 80. I don't know.
Yeah, and then 80 to 40 or whatever you want from there. You can kind of play around with those numbers, but keep it kind of – I'd keep everything under 100 all the time for if you're doing RO water. Yeah, there's no reason to jump that stuff up, I don't think.
Great. Okay, that's a great tip. Thank you.
I think everybody, if they had their preference, they would start with water that was as neutral as possible, really. And the reason these waters came about, you know, like, well, they had to use that water.
Like, well, so. We have to deal with this. What can we make? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, dial it back. Brew the same recipe. The recipe, you know, maybe try some different hops in it, too, if you have something besides Columbus around, but...
Yeah, and have some Liberty and Bravo as well, or you know, throw some of the other newer hops that you know, whatever you know.
But if you want to enter it in a competition, I would definitely bump up the late hops a little bit more because you know, like Keith is kind of hinting at some breweries, the IPA and pale ale are almost interchangeable words these days. It's,
right.
Come on.
Right. Okay. Well, thank you. Thanks for all the feedback. This has been really helpful.
Absolutely. Thanks, Aaron.
Awesome. Yeah. Thanks for sending us the beer, man.
All right. Well, take care. I don't think I have any more questions.
Sounds good.
All right, have a great night, man.
Thanks, dude.
All right.
Bye.
Thanks, you too. Bye.
Cool. All right, speaking of water, the Smart Brew Water Testing Kit incorporates a revolutionary photometer system, which is the first and only one on the market with its own app. It's for home or commercial use because everybody knows it takes great water to make great beer. The only meter on the market that runs water tests with no math needed on your part. The iDip pairs via Bluetooth and updates your water results instantly to your own personal water profile. You can email the results to the rest of your brewers or post to your Facebook page and your homebrew club get the lowdown on your base water profile. You have the ability to test over 40 different water quality tests. Four come preloaded and more are available. You can test for things like total alkalinity, chloride, calcium hardness, pH, sulfate, and more using only 4 milliliters of water for each test. Did we mention no math is needed? So go to smartbrewkit.com, enter code TBN10 at checkout, and save $10 on either the standard or the advanced Smart Brew testing kit. All right, let's
sometimes
take a break.
Yeah. It'll surprise you where some of your minerals are at.
Hello, fellow BNR. I missed.
Whoa, he cued that one early. Sorry.
I had a cue, and I just screwed up. All right, we're going to take a break, and we're going to come back, and we're going to drink some more beer. This is Dr. Homebrew. We'll be right back.
Hello, fellow BNers. This is Sully from the 21st Amendment Brewery located in San Francisco, just 2 blocks from Giants Park. Before Nico and I opened the 21A and before I was a professional brewer, I homebrewed on my small four-burner apartment stove in a back house in Santa Monica, California, making my extract brews before graduating to the daunting idea of all-grain brewing. Homebrew books and information was hard to come by back then. The internet hadn't been invented yet, along with other things we take for granted today, like electricity and potable water. One thing I wish I had back then when I was learning was a radio show that could teach me the ins and outs of brewing and answer questions that I had about homebrewing, a resource for making great craft beer. The 21st Amendment Brewery is excited to be a proud sponsor of Dr. Homebrew, a great show that teaches you what you need to know about making incredible beer. Good stuff. Listen up. You might learn something. I certainly did. And thanks for your support. Tasty Crack Games.
Since the first time the Brewing Network microphones turned on, More Beer was behind it. More Beer sponsors the programming on the BN because, like you, they love brewing. And like the Brewing Network, they love sharing their knowledge. MoreBeer.com isn't just a website to place your next equipment or ingredient order. MoreBeer.com also gives you access to free beer information that will make you a better brewer. Go to MoreBeer.com and click into the Learning Center. You'll find podcasts, technical facts, video tutorials, and more, including access to The Buzz, More Beer's social network of more than 5,000 members. And some of them might even be crazier about beer than you are. Get over to morebeer.com today and take advantage of the buzz, the forum, the learning center, and make sure you're signed up to receive the newest More Beer catalog. More Beer, bringing you absolutely everything for beer making.
Now
examination.
Hey, it's Dr. Homebrew, everyone. We'll be, we're here, and we're ready for you.
Yes.
I have to, like, readjust
all
my things.
We're here and we're clear.
We are. God, is it sound? I don't know what's going on. The studio, man. There we go. That sounds a little better. I came in the studio, and I need to pay, I guess, a little more attention to all the lights and stuff, because there was a light clicked on here that I didn't notice before, and the whole last show and all this show, it's like this white noise going on, but I don't hear it anymore. And I unclicked this talk button, and then suddenly everything is like 30% louder.
Click it again. Let's hear it. Wow. Hey.
Yeah, there it is.
Whoa.
I kind of like that. Can we go back to the white noise?
White noise.
I like that.
And we have to crank it way up to be able to hear it with that.
It's weird, man.
Distortion on my voice, too. Distortion.
Yeah, so yeah. I don't know what that means for the archive, and we might have to pull it from the... I don't know, man. This is a bunch of... Sometimes. I don't know. That's the problem with having a studio that's, like, open-ended and there's no supervision.
No sound guy.
And there's always
guy.
People coming in and out. Yeah. And it's like things get bumped and things get moved and things get switched around. And,
right.
You know?
I mean, you can get artificial intelligence to do what we do. You know, I mean, pretty much you don't need us.
Pretty much.
You just, like, dump something into a little vial and it analyzes it and
or a lot of vials.
This beer is
beer
cloudy.
Bug. How about the beer bug? We can have that.
Let's talk about these beers here. Keith, what are we drinking right now? More of your beer, which I'm okay with.
More of your beer.
Why is one different colors?
They were made from the same mash, so I did basically a mash for, you know, in bigger kettles for 20 gallons of beer, I did a mash. The same mash, and then collected the wort in a 26-gallon kettle, and then pulled off, like, maybe 12 gallons and put it into a 20-gallon kettle to make a 10-gallon beer of a Helles, and then save the other 14 gallons, of wort, and then pulled it in and did a Pilsner right after that. I boiled the Helles for 90 minutes. I boiled the Pilsner for, I think, 110 minutes. So I was trying to create the same mash, some differentiation between the two beers.
Okay.
I used a little, obviously used a little more wort for one and added water back for the other. So the Helles is a lower, like 1047 gravity, while the Pilsner is around 1055. Different hopping, different yeast strains. Just trying to play around and save myself some time and be able to make two different beers that are just different and cut out like 3 hours of a day by doing that.
They're different. That's a Pils, that's a Helles. I like it.
Were these lagered?
No. Just kidding. Yeah, they were. Not very long. I mean, it's only been like 2 or 3 weeks at this point in time, so it's not a long lagering.
What was your fermentation schedule on these?
48, 47 pitch. I don't believe in all that other
new
crap. I did have good pitches for the yeast, and then did that for about, you know, until they hit about 75% fermentation, then did a diacetyl rest at that point in time. For 2 to 3 days, and then pretty much, you know, started lagering from there. Put them in a bright tank, let them sit there for 2 weeks, put them into kegs, and they've been there about 3 weeks right now. So it's only about 3 weeks of lagering at this point in time. I wish they were a little bit longer, but I thought it'd be a kind of fun thing to talk about. And I did a similar thing with the Vienna this past weekend. And for the Vienna, I even got a little bit crazier, where I added Cinnamar to part of it and rice solids to the other and made a IPV and a Vienna. IPV sounds like a disease or something.
Right.
Like, yeah. But it was
HPV, but yeah. Less.
But less, yeah. Yeah. It's more. It's one more. It's one letter more.
It's HPV, but it's more personal.
Right.
So a little commercial, they actually showed the old person who's dead in a casket. You've seen the HPV commercial. It's like, I didn't know. Yeah. My mom didn't tell me.
And did you know, Mommy?
I was surfing. And I got HPV by surfing.
Oh, man. So back to the beers.
Sorry.
The Pils is nice and clear. It's brilliantly clear.
The head retention doesn't look like shit right now. I apologize for that. I'm not, you know.
We'll forgive that. The Helles is a little bit hazy. There's a little bit of yeast in suspension there. Or hops or something, but yeah.
Well, that Pils is bitter as hell, man. That's a hop. That's a hop all around hoppy.
So for the water, you just kind of split the middle of
same water.
Yeah.
No, they're both really light water. They're probably about 40, PPM, calcium. They're all on the low side. They're very, very low.
Yeah, I mean, you want it pretty soft for the pill.
Yeah, even maybe 35 PPM, and then sulfate, you know, it's like 26, 24, something like that. They're on the really, really low side for
water. So kind of medium, low sulfate.
Yeah, and quite honestly, JP, like, I'm not even calling this a Czech Pilsner. This is kind of like an American Pilsner. So it kind of toes the line somewhere between a German and a Czech, and it's just like whatever I want to make it as a Pilsner sort of thing.
Yeah, well, fuck it. I mean, I think it tastes pretty good. So what was your end goal? Is just to kill time? Or not kill time, but to prevent, to save time.
Yes, not to kill it, was to kill time. It. Okay. I just recently had a, you know, my wife had a kid. Sorry, I did nothing there. And I'm just trying to kill time. I'm just like, yeah, I just want to kill some time.
You're
just
bored.
Get away from that kid. Yeah. I have nothing else to do, you know? Right. Like, no, I mean, I like both of these beer styles a lot. And it's like, I want to make a Pilsner. I want to make a Helles. How can I save some time while, you know, I don't have to brew 2 days in a weekend. I can brew 1 day in a weekend. And like, hey, I'm just brewing on Saturday. But like, little does anybody know, I'm making 20 gallons of beer, not 10
don't
gallons.
Tell her I got two beers out of it.
Yeah. And like, why are you down there for 12 hours? I'm like, stuck mash. I have no idea what happened.
Oh, man.
You know,
yeah,
everybody
honey.
Hates, no, it wasn't stuck actually. Mash. It was like 10 hours. But yeah, it was like, stuck mash. I can't believe it happened. No, I'm kidding. But,
it never happens to me.
But no, I mean, the goal was to save some time and make two beers. And I wanted to kick off two different yeast strains. So one is the 833, the Eyinger strain. And that's the Helles, and it's consistently, I'm on my third beer now with that, and it's consistently been more cloudy than
with the same pitch?
Yeah.
Yeah, the same pitch amount, okay. Yeah. And it's just, it doesn't drop as much, and I think it'll drop out more, and I could have done more.
Didn't find it, you just lagered it?
I wanted to serve it as a joke. I wanted to call it Helles Keller at a meeting, which was really fun. You know, I was like, oh, I've read the Helles Keller, you know, like, ah, you know, like, so I didn't want to find it at all, and I wanted it to still be kind of hazy, so it would clearly see it was a Helles, another pun. It was a Keller. Anyway, and then the other one was Biofine, so that's why I think it dropped even a little bit clearer. But yeah, that's kind of the point, was to make one. And I think the Helles will clear up over time for lagering. It's been 3 weeks. I think another week it'll. And you're comparing against the other beer, which is
pretty much crystal clear. A lot hoppier.
So do me a favor, Keith. So in case anybody wants to try this at home, go through your brewing process again. And, you know, in general terms, I don't need specifics, but how did you split the batch and make two different beers?
Yeah, so I mean, pretty much started off with one giant mash. Mm-hmm. So I had a big 28-gallon kettle with the full mash there, and did a simple, it was like a 146, 158 rest. Doesn't really matter, right? But then I just racked it all into, I'm sorry, I from the mash, I sparge and put it all into a 26-gallon kettle, and then I just took certain amounts out of there for each beer. So I brewed one beer at a time. So I had 26 gallons of wort, and I took, you know, let's say 12 gallons for the Helles and 14 gallons for the pills. It ended up being like 12.25 and, you know, 13.75, whatever, you know, the math, whatever. But I just took some of it out, put it into a kettle, boiled that, and waited for the second beer, you know, when it was done, and then pulled the second beer off. So basically made just one giant kettle of wort, and then pulled more off for one beer and less off for the other. And then boiled one a little bit longer just to get a little more color formation there, too, just to create a little more differentiation. And then added different hops and different yeast. So, I mean, everybody always talks about, I'm going to brew 10 gallons of beer. I'm going to split them between two fermenters and add different yeasts. Well, this is, you know, going one step further and saying I'm going to make just, you know, one step up the ladder. I'm going to make, you know, one mash, one wort, and then split the wort up and then do different things with that. Like I said, this time around, I was also doing Cinnamar and rice syrup solids, trying to like bump the gravity on one, like make one darker for the next, you know, this beer. And I mean, you know, IPV, which is a hoppy Vienna, is the way I was looking at it.
But, right.
Yeah. So I mean, just kind of fun stuff like that. Like I can make one big mash and then split it up between two beers and do different stuff. And the cool stuff is you can, you know, it's in a lot of ways it's like party, you know, I guess like making a strong Scotch and a Scottish, where you're starting off with the first runnings, but instead I'm controlling it just by make them pretty close to similar, but then just using the amount of liquid, you know, and pull them off in different kettles at that point. And I could have boiled them both at the same time. It was just a matter of I only have one wort chiller and just, you know, sanity. I was by myself and like, hey, I can't clean everything and sanitize everything, get it out, everything ready. So, but yeah.
Yeah.
You know, there's ways to make it even faster and save even more time. I have the burners. It's just a matter of having somebody else, you know, control some of that stuff. But yeah, it's just making stuff fast.
There was a pretty good talk at HomebrewCon by This guy, Sachin Darji, I'm probably slaughtering his name, but it was called Brewing When You Have No Time. Okay. In parentheses, getting more out of your limited brewing time.
But, okay.
I mean, he was actually a pretty cool animated speaker, and he's like, you know, why do I have to do this? You know, he's thinking about every little aspect of it. And what, you know, what does this get me if I do this? Is it going to be that much worse if I just do that instead? Or, you know, and he just like talked. I mean, he like had some really quick brew session, like just, you know, spitting out a beer in a couple of hours or something. Like,
wow.
Just, you know, I mean, doing stuff the night before and these kind of things, like to save time. And I thought it was a really cool talk, you know, especially for people that have kids or have busy schedules. You know, busy weekends, can't always fit it in. And, yeah, I got a little inspiration from that, but I still haven't brewed much lately.
I remember when I had none of those, like a busy schedule, like a, you know, kids, any of that stuff. It was great.
Yeah.
It's like brewing, this is awesome. I mean, for me, these are fun because in the Hellas, I can still taste some DMS. And in the pills, I can't taste it, and I'm not sure it's hidden behind the hops or it's that extra 20 minutes of boiling time.
Yeah.
Probably hidden behind the hops.
I would think so, yeah.
No, but I get the same DMS thing out of it. Usually I can pick that up.
Maybe it's more of the
breadiness.
The cracker breadiness. Yeah. I have a hard time, like, always, oh, that's DMS, but no, it really is more of the, it's a crackery breadiness sort of thing from the Pils Malt.
And not even crackery, right? Because for me, crackery is, like, very clear, but it is a muddled bread tone, I think, is maybe more of what it is. Like a softer, creamy bread tone.
Yeah,
which would be a great band name, the Creamy Bread Tones.
And then later on, you get like the softer acoustic, you get like the softer, creamy bread tones.
The softer, creamy bread tones.
So, yeah. What were the hops that you put in the Pilsner?
So I did a for some reason I had Czech saws in leaf form. I have no idea how that happened.
All right,
I did some of that in pellet form, but I also wanted to use some Sterling. I forget why I was doing that. I love Sterling.
Bitter,
Sterling's,
man,
one of my favorite hops. I think there's not much in the way of bittering hops other than Czech saws and bittering. I don't know. I wanted it, like I said, I wanted it to be like a Prima Pils sort of Sunshine Pils, like some of the Pennsylvania German style Pils, like over the top a little bit. I think it's bitter, but it's
bitter, and I think maybe what it is, it's more of a drying bitterness, if that makes any sense. It's not like overly bitter, but it's dry, and I think that, you know, the vegetable matter or the I don't know, the it's a puckering bitterness. That makes sense.
So I want to ask you guys this, like, if you could score them, you know, and you're not going to write full score sheets out right now.
50s.
Like, what would you give for each?
50.
No, yeah.
Easily.
You know,
right, Brian?
I'm pretty disappointed. If it's not 52, I'm really kind of bummed
you're
out.
Pissed.
But no, like, what would you give, like, no, seriously, what would you give each score on each?
What are you entering? The Hellas is a Hellas, but the, so you, not a Czech Pils, but a...
I think I do Czech Pils. That's what I would think of it as. Do you get any diacetyl in the Czech Pils at all?
No.
Okay. I wondered. I thought I picked up a little bit when I was doing some stuff with it, but it's the October. I didn't tell you the yeast strain. Eyinger is 833 for the Hellas, and it was the Oktoberfest, which is the 820, which is also, I guess, close to the 2206 from Y yeast.
Yeah, you had mentioned the Eyinger, but yeah, the...
Yeah.
Let me pull up my handy BJCP app, because I think I would give the Hellas a pretty good score. I mean, you know, it's so Munich Hellas or German Hellas export beer. Which are we talking about? Munich Hellas?
Munich Hellas, yeah. Every time I got closer to the microphone, I said it more improperly.
I mean, my first impression is that it's not, kind of thinner in body and like in malt than the Hellas that I've had.
Not
it's on the
quite
lower
as rich
end
on the breadiness.
Yeah, but that's okay because I'm comparing it to the last Hellas I had, which was from Shells, August Shell, and it's
Minnesota.
It's along these lines. It's kind of it is a little bit thinner than I'm used to, and you know, so there's that. Overly sweet, focused on malt flavor, underlying hop bitterness in a supporting role. Export examples can quickly lose some of the rich malt character that often suggests sweetness. Hellas in Munich tends to be lighter in all aspects than those outside the city, which can be more assertive with more body, flavor, and hop character. Okay, that's what we were just talking about, really.
Yeah, the color's good. You can knock it down a little bit for appearance with the haziness, but that's only a point or something.
And the haziness is not even, yeah, it's kind of
not that much. So, yeah.
It's clearer than every other beer that we tasted tonight. But yeah,
yeah, I wouldn't even knock it down a point for that. There's no way. I think I would give it in the low 40s, to be completely honest with you. I think it's a pretty, let's go 38. I'll change my mind.
I was actually thinking 38, too, on that one.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's there. It's a really good beer.
39, just to be
But I think you're right. I think most judges would think, and this is one of the lessons about judging a beer, or entering a beer, is that most judges would be like, oh, this isn't like the Hellas's I've had. It's a little bit on the weak side, and it's a little dry, you know. And you're, you know, like, if I would have entered it at Oktoberfest, they'd have been like, maybe it's a third place beer.
If they're being nice.
Yeah. You know, like,
What about this other one, Brian? Where would you throw this other one?
So let's say I enter as a Czech pill.
Czech premium pale lager. Yeah.
That's category 3B in the new BJCP guidelines, which they aren't very new anymore.
Czech premium pale lager.
I mean, to me, I kind of taste a little bit more of the mineraliness in it than I would want in a Czech pills, because it's expressing itself. The bitterness is expressing itself really crisply and a little bitingly. It's not harsh at all, and I think it's pretty good as a Czech pils, but maybe more like mid-30s.
Okay.
Did I say the wrong thing?
No. When I laugh, is the water's exactly the same between the two beers. But you're right. I mean, like the two styles, but like
one has a little more sulfane and one that has.
Yeah, but it's interesting. No,
they're both pretty soft waters. Yeah,
I laugh because I think about it, you know, and it's like I didn't change the water for the pilsner, but there's just more hops.
There's less hops in the Hellas.
The hops are going to make it, you know, no matter whatever sulfate character you have. Right?
Yeah, I mean, if it's a Czech premium pale lager, it's definitely a lot hoppier than the style dictates, so you know you would get marked down a little bit.
It tastes like an American Czech. That's what they'll say. Yeah.
34.
If you enter this in a comp,
how about 34, Brian?
35.
35. You go 35, even with the water ding and the hop ding that
he can reach me. Like he can
reach you.
Me.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. You're probably right.
I have like monkey arms.
That's right.
He's a wild.
So 35. You give it 35.
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe 36.
What would you give your own beers there, Keith?
I do struggle with the Hellas. Like, I'm like, yeah, like the you know, the clarity, and I'm like that. I think they're so different is what makes it fun to me. I think I have like this sort of aversion to mineral hardness in a Czech Pilsner. So I think I would probably get that a lower score too. I'd be like, yeah, that's a little over hopped. You need to be a little bit, you know. A little bit cleaner, and
let's face it, we're just being nice to you. Both of these are 13-point beers.
Right.
I know.
Yeah,
no, whatever. I can't judge my... That's why I brought them to you, so you could taste them.
You don't want
to
judge your own beers.
No, it's hard, because I know the house flavor, and it's like...
Sure,
yeah,
it's hard.
Yeah,
I'm just curious.
Like, no, I mean, I would say 50 for each.
Give me all the gold medals.
Yeah. There it is.
I think they're both pretty good. I mean,
it's fun.
Very reminiscent of the styles. It's just... Yeah,
I think I did what I wanted to do, which is the most important because, like I said, the Pilsner was supposed to be an American sort of style Pilsner, somewhere falling between German, Czech, and just sort of somewhere on the board there. Like, I think it was cool. I made two distinct different, you know, they're totally different beers. Like, distinct, different, obviously redundant, but they're different beers from the same mash, and they look different, they taste different. It's fun.
Yeah. No, good. And I could see 50, not 50, I could see 40 plus for the Hellas, just like if the haziness was gone, the slight haziness, Keith.
Yeah, Biofine would have done that easily.
I could see 40 plus for that, but...
I can wait 2 weeks for...
Yeah.
I just couldn't avoid the Hellas Keller sort of thing.
No, you had to go with that. There's no way.
Great. It was perfect.
For sure.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's take a break here real fast, and we'll come back.
Can we let Keith compete for the grog tag?
Sure, why not? Why not?
I'm gonna
hang on, everyone. We'll be right back.
Do you know the three most important rules in brewing? Sanitation, sanitation, and sanitation. And no one does it better than Five Star Chemicals. Five Star knows sanitation. You can only sanitize clean equipment. And Five Star knows how to clean, too. For craft brewers and home brewers, Five Star has what you need to keep your fermenters, serving tanks, kegs, and draft lines sparkling and free of any beer-spoiling bacteria. PBW, caustic, acid cleaners, Star Sand, Santa Clean, lubricants and defoamers, pH stabilizers, and more. Five Star Chemicals has cleaning supplies, safety supplies, heat exchangers, pumps, hoses, and valves. And Five Star is proud to offer eco-friendly products that exceed customer expectations. If you have a cleaning problem, you need the Five Star solution. Visit FiveStarChemicals.com or call 800-782-7019. 800-782-7019 and get the five-star treatment today.
Are you a member of the White Labs Customer Club? If not, you should be. It's the easiest way to earn free stuff for turning in your old homebrew labels from either Vials or Pure Pitch. All you have to do is save your labels and redeem them for things like free yeast, an exclusive White Labs t-shirt or sweatshirt, and even the opportunity to brew with the yeast man himself, Chris White. Signing up is easy. Just go to whitelabs.com/customer club, fill out the registration form, and then mail in your labels. They will return the favor by sending you awesome White Labs swag. Go sign up today at whitelabs.com/customer club. White Labs, pure yeast and fermentation since 1995.
I'm sorry to tell you this, but we're going to have to pour you out.
Back to Dr. Homebrew.
Hey, thanks for sticking around, everybody. Before we start handing stuff away, I do want to tell you about the Brew Guru app from the AHA. It's pretty cool. You can locate any brewery or beer bar around you with the Brew Guru app. And then if you link your Zymergy, not your Zymergy, excuse me, your AHA membership to that, then you can just show the little app around to everywhere that offers the discount. And you can save a bunch of money on food and apps and all that kind of stuff. Plus, you get to read articles from Zymergy. Plus, if you're a member, you already get the magazine anyway, so you're on the road or, you know, waiting in line for a beer, you can sit in there and read a couple articles here and there and, you know, save some money while you're at it, too. The Brew Guru app, it's free from any sort of store that sells apps. Any app store, it's all free, it's all there.
Pretty much any time you're in a pub or, anywhere that serves beer, you should check it because you might save some money.
Absolutely.
Or if you're in the pub's kitchen, you should also check it while you're there.
You have to do that here. You cannot just stand around. You have to be proactive. Okay, so of course Aaron gets the grog tag, the $40 at least your beer will look good grog tag gift certificate. Good job, Aaron.
He's got some labels.
He's already got a label.
You can make a wall sign out of it, a metal beer sign.
Yeah.
The next time around, I'm just gonna bring some water from my toilet and make you guys taste that so I can win the grog tags.
That'd be great. I appreciate that a lot. And, Keith, thank you very much for bringing your beer in to talk to us about your little homebrewing experiment there. It's very lovely.
His little homebrewing experiment.
It's no brewlosophy, so I know.
That's true.
No, I mean, you managed to make two completely different styles, although similar.
You did.
You know, I mean, similar in that they're both lagers, really.
Because an L yeast on one of them made a Kolsch, you know. It's really just, you've heard that before. But
yeah, the yeast difference and the hop difference and the wort was pretty neutral, and you didn't need to do much else with it.
Yeah, I think it was pretty good.
Next time, three beers.
All right.
Three beers. All right, everyone, this has been Dr. Homebrew, and I appreciate you guys tuning in to each and every show because, of course, you never miss a show here on Dr. Homebrew. We're that engaging. And
thank you, listeners.
Yeah, thank you very much. If you want to be on the show, email me, jp@thebrewingnetwork.com. I do have a bunch of fresh emails to get to, so we're probably at a 3 or 4 month backlog. So, you know, don't say, I have this really fresh IPA I want to send you, because I'm not going to get to your fucking email for like 3 months. So sorry about that, but it's just
send us what you have around. These guys did.
Fucking way she goes. Yeah, but we definitely get to you. We'll definitely get you on the show.
More lagers.
More lagers, please. Yes. We should put a ban on pale ales and IPAs.
Oh, man.
Imperial styles, too.
God, if I had a bar, that's all I would do. Yeah. All right, everyone. This has been Dr. Homebrew, and you've been great. Thank you. Good night.
Cheers.